Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Blind Level Tech, where we help you live the best technological life you possibly can. That's actually not an official saying, but I kind of just popped it out of my head, so let's go with it. I like it that way. Anyway, I'm your host for the most, Evan Starnes, joined by the one and the only, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, Kelvin. So good to see you,
man.
Guys.
How is your... Oh, yeah, I'll just jump right on you. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's so good to see you guys, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
That's your saying. That's going to be your saying. I think if you were to have a theme song, it would be the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood theme, very obviously.
I love it.
Me too. I'm sure we got our audience probably humming it in their heads in the background. But
yeah.
Man, how was your weekend? Any new tech acquisitions or anything happen?
Yeah, so I've been on the electronic chess hunt because I'm going to we're prepping to start going into me having to move. We kind of like a deployment to Louisiana to start the production of the Simi Cane, but I want to stay engaged with my foster son. And so I was like, you know, he could play chess on his iPad, and if it moves my chessboard set, I know what moves he done, and I can then know what to do on the chessboard.
There you go.
And so, yeah, so I've been on a hunt for that, looking for a good chessboard set to work with and make it accessible for blind. And you know, that's not an easy really thing sweet. To do, you know? It's like, come on.
you would think, right? You know, chess being as popular as it is, it's kind of your, like, at least from my experiences, like, if you get a device, you know, it's kind of one of the default, if it comes with games, that's usually, like, one of their default games is chess. You know, it's like everybody, back when computers were first taking off, everybody wanted to see, can it play chess? And yeah, they actually do have like, you and I were talking over the weekend, they do have like these really cool electronic chess sets that allow you to make a move, and then your move will be followed, you know, it'll basically be represented on the other opponent's chessboard. I think the pieces, there's like little magnets underneath the board that move the pieces around.
Exactly.
Really cool though. And you know, if one's accessible, we'll definitely be sure to make an episode on it for sure. Yep, hands down, no questions asked.
So what about you, man? How was your weekend?
Oh man, dude, my weekend was pretty good. It was quite chill. I did actually acquire a new/old piece of tech. It's nothing super exciting unless you're me, because it's a coffee maker. But I actually went thrifting this weekend, and let me just say to anybody that's just moved out, or you know, if you're just looking to get a lot of, you know, used stuff that's still in great condition, that's just such a good way to do it. I mean, I went in and then I came out with like a soap dish and a shower caddy and a bunch of other junk I absolutely didn't need, but it makes the place just look nicer. But I, for like $15, I scored this coffee machine, and it's one of my, they've made these for years, but it's one of those where you make the coffee, but instead of it going into a carafe, it kind of goes into the machine, and then there's a little lever you pull and it'll just dispense it into your cup. It's the best.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, typically those are like $150.
That is true.
Man, as I'm recording this today outside, it is a ridiculous level of windy outside right now, which brings us into today's topic of emergency situations and emergency preparedness, more particularly the any kind emergencies that will happen when you are at home. And we'll actually just classify these as shelter in place emergencies.
Yep.
But that means today we also have brought on another or a guest. And yeah, Jonathan, he, you know, he was off BLT for a couple episodes, but he's back on for an episode to talk about, to talk about emergency tech and what you need to have to be prepared, because this is totally his wheelhouse. So yeah, Jonathan, how are you doing today?
Well, you know, I try to keep leaving this show and then I keep,
you keep coming back.
I'm like that bad penny. No, I'm doing good. It was a very interesting weekend and a good weekend. And yeah, the wind has been absolutely insane. We've had gusts up to 40, 50 miles an hour, and that's a little strange for Colorado. But
I mean, I got 72 degrees and it's nice and calm.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're in shorts and t-shirts weather, man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So yeah, it's been good. I'm getting all of my gear ready to go camping and hunting and fishing and spend some amazing time in the outdoors. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, and for me, party season's starting back up. Yay. wonder how long that's going to last. Hopefully for a while. Anyway, let's talk about the few different types of emergency situations that can happen, though, when you're at home. I'll say, for instance, you know, a few weeks ago, I was just here, you know, just chilling, doing my thing. And we had a 2.5-day power outage that I was absolutely not prepared for that. So that's like one of the first things that can happen. But yeah, Jonathan, what do you mind talking about just a few different other emergencies that can happen while you're sheltering in place, and you know, what can arise, I suppose?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things you want to think about when you're talking about home or at-home emergencies. Things like power outages, maybe a fire, or those are the big two that really come up. Sometimes we get tornadoes, depending on where you're at in Colorado. So that may or may not affect what you do. But there's tornadoes other places around the country. And so this is all information that you may need. There's also things like flooding, any sort of natural gas leaks, or somewhere where you have to have somebody come mitigate that. And some of the lesser known emergencies may be like mold or mold mitigation. And now they may not be quote unquote emergency situations, but they're enough to get you out of the house for a few days. So things like that, really the big ones that we're going to focus on today are the electrical when the power goes out, or fires or flooding, or natural disasters.
Yes,
so
absolutely. Because
One thing that also I think we need to keep consideration is how do you receive this information? Because like as a deaf-blind person, this is a very difficult thing. Mm-hmm. And so how do you receive some of this emergency stuff so that you even know that the emergency happened? Yeah.
So there's a few ways to get that information. If you have the Weather Channel app and you have the notifications on, and a lot of weather apps have notifications, but the one that I prefer is the Weather Channel app, and it will send you alerts as to what's going on around your zip code or your zip code. And so if you're in a location and it's tracking where you're located and you get, you know, from instance, mine is 80241. And if I get a notification or I'm in that location and I have high wind warnings or I have freeze warnings or I have fire danger or anything like that, I'm going to get a notification on my phone. The other thing to do is, you know, the best way to tell if your power is out is to check and see if you're plugging stuff in and it's charging.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, that's a pretty easy one. Or you turn on a light, or you know, turn on
fan or
something that makes noise or anything like that. That's a good way to see if your power is out. Usually, if your power is out, it's weird. You get this sense of like, oh, that's weird. Something doesn't feel quite right in the environment, and you almost hear an audible,
yeah,
like everything power down, which is kind of a funny thing. When you think about power outages,
it really is.
All of a sudden it's just dead quiet and you don't understand or you don't realize the hum that electricity naturally creates in nature. And so that's a really good way to think of it. But there's also things like email notifications or radio or, you know, having the news on or something like that, where you can get those types of warnings and notifications.
So absolutely.
There's one device that I want to have people being aware of. If you're completely deaf and completely blind, there's a whole other device that you can get for your different state agencies that it's basically a pack that you kind of wear that connects to your phone. And then it indicates to you on different vibrations based off of the weather alert that's in your area. I don't remember on top of my head what it is, but we'll definitely put it in the description down below.
Yeah, if we can find it.
And so it's an older technology, but I know this is what deafblind people use all the time to receive a lot of this data. And so I know for the blind, this is something that is – you can definitely use your phone, VoiceOver, and all those things.
Get an emergency radio. So, but yeah, if you're deaf or if you're deaf blind, yeah, there's got to be a haptic way of getting that information to you. And I'm glad you brought that up, because you'd actually just emphasized a point that literally I didn't even consider before recording this episode at all. And that is, what do you do if you're deaf and blind? And an emergency situation, how do you stay informed? I didn't actually know that device was around, but yeah, if we find the name of it, we'll for sure include it in the show notes. And that device, along with a lot of other tech and items, is what you need to include in your emergency kit, which is what we're going to talk about next, is getting started in with your emergency kit, what you should have, and you know, just really the fact that you never really know what's going to happen emergency wise when something is just going to pop up. Gosh, with me in that power outage, you know, you always take for granted what you have, especially with electricity, running water, internet. You take it for granted until it goes away, and then you know you realize how the luxuries that we have because of infrastructure, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but yes, let's talk about these emergency kits, if you will. And we're going to start off kind of with the technical items, like the tech as in electronics. I guess we should just say the electronics you should have in the emergency kit first. And then we'll kind of branch off to more, to other items that are still very important. But the first thing that you should obviously have and that will help you stay informed and connected is one of those emergency radios. It's even better if it's got a flashlight on it. And it's one of those crank-operated emergency radios. Now, I also have – I've got one that's solar-powered crank, and you can put batteries in. But you can pick those up on Amazon, or I'm pretty sure a lot of sporting goods stores still carry them as well. But they are definitely a necessity. I mean, even if you're not trying to, you know, if you're not using it to stay informed, I mean, you can even at least listen to it for a minute and just kind of, it's a good source of entertainment as well, but super important to have. But what else should people have in their emergency kits, electronic-wise?
Well, electronic-wise, the other thing is a battery pack. And yes, they make several different types of battery packs, and I think it's really important because when you're on the go and you're in an emergency situation, you want to carry as much as you can to have the biggest success, but as little as you can to still have that success. And so they make battery packs that have different cables that come off the battery pack, so it gives you four different options for charging, and you can charge up to two devices at a time on this battery pack. And so it's not accessible. That is one thing. You do need somebody to read the number off, or if you have your phone, you can read 100% or whatever. Yeah. But it gives you multiple options for charging. And I think that is something that's really, really important to think about. The less chargers you have to bring with you, and less cables you have to worry about, the more effective you're going to be in being able to provide enough charge to anything that you're going to have with.
Right. And Jonathan, you've got a big, giant battery pack with a pretty special feature on it as well that I would highly recommend.
Yeah. So I've got, I have kind of a interesting collection of solar chargers. And, you know, a lot of these solar chargers are great for, you know, charging basically everything. And it's got all the ports that you would normally associate with charging devices, such as phones and tablets and GPS devices and hearing aids and all those types of things. Mine has a kind of a flashlight on the back. And I'm glad that we started talking about the tech first, because one of the things that, even though that you are blind or if you have low vision, that you absolutely need to have in an emergency situation is a flashlight. And I'm not just talking a regular, you know, point, click, and it's flashlight. This flashlight needs to have different modes on it. So it needs to have a strobe mode. It needs to have a SOS mode, if you can find one. If you don't find one, learn how to do an SOS call with the light, which is three short, three long. Yeah. And so if you're able to do that, make sure you're able to do that just in case you find yourself in a home and people are looking for you and you're not understanding kind of what's going on. That's really important. The other one that if you can find it is finding a flashlight with either different filtered lights or different colored lights. So sometimes if you have a red light, it can be a little bit easier to see or spot. Outside of if you have street lamps or just house lamps, if you see a red light, it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Why do I see that? Yellow, greens, and blues, there are some flashlights that do have those adjustable filters that you can put on there. So those are good for various things if you're out and about or in your home, because there are still people who have some level of light perception that may be able to see certain colors or things like that. So a flashlight is really important. But in terms of the charging bricks, you can get some from as little as, you know, 5 to 10,000 milliamps to, I think the biggest one I have is 50,000.
Wow.
Which will charge my my iPhone Pro 12. I know it's antiquated.
It's not that old. I have a 13 Pro.
Yeah. But it'll charge that from dead to full 4 times.
And that might be 4 more days of usage you get out of it because of that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And another big thing that I'm going to recommend is changing your outgoing voicemail. So if the cell phone towers are down, or if you anticipate there being an emergency, you want to change your outgoing voicemail to where you are, where you're located, and stay there. So for instance, if I know that somebody's going to be calling me to get a hold of me to make sure I'm safe, I would change my outgoing voicemail to, hey, this is Jonathan. Yes, I was in an earthquake or a tornado, or there has been flooding, or my home's on fire. I am okay. I am seeking shelter. I will call you when I am available or I can. That way, at least you're giving that person a sense of safety. And it kind of keeps everybody in the loop without having to have cell phone signal.
That is something, too, that we talked about a while ago that I completely forgot about, because a lot of people nowadays don't even think about their voicemail in general. You know, I've got 40-something voicemails piled up in my inbox I haven't listened to. But if somebody is trying to get a hold of you, even if your phone doesn't ring and it goes straight to voicemail, that'll be the first thing they hear.
Right.
And it'll be that it's literally just that little piece of information, as insignificant as it might feel at the time. It's that little piece that might get you rescued or saved if need be.
Well, it's a good thing to keep in mind also when you're going camping or fishing or hunting or up in the mountains or anywhere where there's going to be a low cell phone signal or the possibility of no cell phone signal. You want to make sure that you're giving coordinates as to where you are, where you're going to be, at what times, just in case something happens. If you need to contact the Forest Ranger Service or you need to contact the authorities, it's a really good way to make sure that you are taking those steps to be safe.
Absolutely. Now, the last electronic that we haven't talked about and it as insignificant, it's also going to feel a little insignificant, but whatever, is batteries. Because with all those flashlights, and you got, and if you have hearing aids or any other assistive devices that don't have rechargeable batteries, you're going to need batteries. So I would always say in your emergency kit, just have like a pack of doubles, a pack of triples, and maybe if your flashlight takes those special kind of batteries, have a couple of those on hand. But like, load up with batteries, because those might be your lifeline. You never know.
And when you store those batteries, and especially if you have a flashlight, don't leave the batteries inside the flashlight. Because if you, if they're in there for 2 or 3 years, the flashlight's going to be ruined, because the batteries will leak. So, so if you're going to store your emergency, like your batteries with your flashlight, put them all in a little baggie, and that way they're together. Put the batteries in their own bag and put the flashlight in its own, so it's all together. And if you need it, you put them all in there, it's good to go, and you don't have acid bleeding onto your
lights. Into your batteries and ruining your flashlight, and then you come back to it 3 years later, and it's just, you open the battery compartment and battery acid just falls out. It's a nightmare. I'm sure plenty of people have experienced that. Well, that's awesome. But in an emergency situation, you might also need to maybe prepare a shelter, or get some firewood, or maybe catch a fish or something like that. So let's actually talk fires first. In an emergency kit, I would, Jonathan and I were talking about this morning. It's always a good idea to have a fire starter, but not just a flint and steel. Several different kinds of fire starters. So, Jonathan, can we let's talk about those fire starters real quick? Because a lot of people, when they think of that, they just think flint and steel.
For sure. So there's quite a few different fire starters, and you have to go with the one that matches what you want to do, or that's easiest for you. You know, there's the old kind of rubbing two sticks together to get a spark, and there are so many great versions, but that's a really good skill to have. If you can avoid it, use matches as a last resort. The first thing that I would do is get yourself some cotton swabs or cotton balls and kind of stretch them apart so they're more fibrous, and then get yourself some Vaseline and mix in that Vaseline with those, and they create a what's kind of a kindling, and if you light it, they'll be good to last up to about 30 minutes on just a single cotton swab, which is really awesome, because it'll give you time to get some more wood together, some of your more small sticks and larger logs and things like that together, so that you're ready to go. There's three different types of fire starters. You have your flint and steel, you have matches, you have your lighters, different if you have a long lighter, like a
grill lighter,
you would light a grill, or a cigarette lighter, or a little thumb lighter. There's those. You also have matches, waterproof or strike anywhere, or strike on box matches. I don't usually recommend matches unless it is a absolute last resort, just because the heads break. They may not work. They may be dead. If you like, believe it or not, matches expire. And so sometimes they won't strike very well, or they won't light. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a very dangerous thing, especially if they're your only source of heat. The other thing that I would recommend doing is getting what are called tumbleweeds. And you can get these at King Soopers or any sort of log fire starter as a like a first aid or like emergency kit situation. But these tumbleweeds are bundled together pieces of hay and kind of wood. It almost looks like basket weaving material. And it lights so fast, and it burns really hot and really big for about 5 to 10 minutes. So if you combine those with the cotton swabs, you can actually get a really nice fire going, so long as you have your sticks and you
feel it,
you're able to build around it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's where I would start with those.
Absolutely. Another thing that's important is hunting and fishing utilities, I guess, or basically a utility blade with a bunch of accessories. And I've seen these little survival kits too that'll come with like a wire saw and some fishing equipment. And I think you can pick those up for like 10, 15 bucks at your sporting goods store or on Amazon. But what would you, do you have any like recommendations as far as maybe like a nice little folding utility knife?
You could never go wrong with Swiss Army. Gerber makes some good utility knives. Spyderco makes some great knives. But if you know how to use a knife and you need a utility tool, I would get one of each. I would get a strict knife that is just for things like, it's called batoning wood, where you have to split wood. If you don't have an axe, you can actually use the blade of your knife and use a rock on the back of your blade on the thick part to be able to split some of the more finer woods. You can create feather sticks, which are really good for kindling, knives for a knife that is good for gutting or filleting a fish or for catching game or just to do really anything. That's really great. But having a utility tool where you have the pliers, the corkscrews, the bottle openers, Phillips head, flathead, all those types of things is really important too. I would recommend not having a knife in the utility set, only because you're going to get a lot more mileage out of having a knife and a utility set versus a combination. Because, you know, like in a mechanic speak, there's a tool designed for every situation. And if you're using a tool outside its designated
situation
use, you could end up in some really bad shapes. So there's a lot of them, and it just really depends on what you can afford. There's some really good cheap ones. There's some really, really nice or expensive ones, but it just depends on what you can afford and what you feel comfortable using.
Yeah, and Swiss Army is always a good one. That's what I first started out with. That's always been my go-to brand, but I'd say you'd expect to spend maybe $20 on like the low end, anywhere up to $150 or more.
Oh yeah,
for some of these crazy, super fancy ones. Now, the next thing you're really going to need is a spare change of clothes, because gosh, you don't want to, especially if you're without power, without hot water for a couple of days, you don't want to be hanging around that same pair of clothes. That's nasty. So yeah, your change of clothes and of course some toiletries, you know, soap, shampoo, deodorant, whatever you might think of, whatever you use for toiletries, toothbrush, toothpaste, all in that little emergency kit. Now, one thing we have not talked about yet actually is food. Now, personally, from my experiences, you know, if I want to be prepared for an emergency situation where I'm home, I like to stock up on these like on these little MREs. There are a lot of different brands out there, and you know, a lot of them come in like a pouch, and you either add boiling water to the pouch or you dump the contents into a little pot and you boil the water. And then it'll kind of, you know, it's freeze dried food essentially is what that is. You'd also mentioned to me when in a previous conversation actually about something I'd completely overlooked, and that's one of those little emergency stoves. Now, they make a few different types of emergency stoves. You get your you got your S-bit stoves, and those are actually I'd say probably the most compact. It's literally, at least from what I remember, it's like a little metal cube that gets really hot, and then you put an S-bit tablet in it, and then you kind of you light that tablet, and it's kind of like a little fire starter of its own for the stove. But it'll give you enough heat to get some water boiling, or you know, even give you like heat as far as warmth even. So definitely overlooked that, but they also make these little mini propane grills too, and you can get like a can of propane for $4 or $5, and you can cook food that way as well. Thinking about food and emergency rations and stuff, I don't know if it makes me the most hungry per se, but it does lead into of course. Sandwich of the week. I'm going to go first because I haven't in a while, but for the Sandwich of the Week segment, I am going to try to come up with a sandwich that is kind of related to the topic at hand. That's going to be really tough, actually. But at the same time, my Sandwich of the Week this week is the Uncrustable. Right? Because you can buy a box of those, and you know, they're not the most healthy for you, but whatever, you know, they'll fill you up if you need a quick bite. And
well, and in an emergency situation, those are actually really good because they're high in caloric intake and you do need calories for energy. And so if you're in an emergency situation and you're trying to survive, that's a great one to have.
All right. Sweet. Yeah. Well, Kelvin, what's your sandwich of the week?
Well, since we're talking about emergency food, I'm going to go with a Spam sandwich.
Spam sandwich. Oh, a spanwich, huh?
Gross.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
It's not something I like, but I'm just saying, we're talking about, I'm going to save my one I had for today for next week. So, yeah, I'll go with a Spam sandwich.
All right. All right.
That's pretty crazy.
Oh, man. How about you, Jonathan?
Well, it's actually really, really good over an open fire. And this is one of the meals that I do camping a lot. And so it's just a classic grilled cheese, but you get two or three pieces of different types of cheeses, like a pepper jack or a smoked cheddar or provolone or sharp or a Swiss cheese, you know, whatever. And then stick it on a rock, get a flat rock that's and kind of clean it off a little bit if you can, and then use that as your grill plate. And then when that rock gets really hot, it actually toasts both sides of your sandwich and you get this super melty cheese that's over an open fire. And it's just amazing. It's so good.
That sounds really good and kind of not something I would have ever even considered. See, this is why we have you on. You've got so much information about the
I tell you what, if you can find a flat stone and you're able to cook on a stone in a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I cook my steaks. I'll go to the river and I'll grab a big flat rock and I'll wash it off really well. And then I'll put that rock in the middle of the fire, get it super hot, and it turns into a grill and I get rock seared steaks. And oh my gosh, it just tastes so much different. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Well, and rocks do a really good job of retaining heat and absorbing it. So.
But that's a whole other conversation for another time because I got something cool about rocks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as you guys can tell, emergency situations are not just a one-size-fits-all scenario at all in any means. And in fact, we could honestly go and make an entire series literally on emergency situations. But we really hope that this episode today gave you that nice little bite of information you needed to get your emergency kit put together. And one last point I have not yet made, but is also important, is be sure that you are familiar with the contents of your emergency kit and be sure you're familiar with how to use that content because if you're in one of those situations, like a fire starter has some instructions with it typically, as does your Espit stoves or any of that kind of stuff. So you really need to make sure you're familiar with how to use it. And also make sure that the items in that kit are labeled, whether it be large print, braille, and or fluorescent tape to make it easier if you have low vision to see those items. But yeah, make sure you've clearly labeled everything in that kit so that you know what you're getting and it'll take the guesswork out of the equation. With that being said, for Evan Starnes, Kelvin Crosby, Jonathan Price, the entire AfterSight family, definitely don't forget to plug in your devices, especially your power banks. And yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we will catch you guys again next week.